Welcome to the Volatile Vet Radio Show, where finance meets fortitude, and the stock market isn't the only thing with battle scars. At Abshire Family Financial, we are vets in more ways than one, here to help you navigate the world of wealth, investments, and financial independence with the precision of a sniper and the patience of a drill sergeant on his first cup of coffee. We don't just talk strategy, we equip you with real knowledge designed to bring about success, which is why we give you real-world rubber-meets-the-road examples every week as part of our retirement mission. We want you to happily retire, and RETIRE is an acronym that stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment. To accomplish all those areas, you need a plan that's not just about surviving, but built to last. So whether you're dodging market downturns, wrestling with retirement plans, or just trying to make sense of why your money disappears faster than your willpower in a donut shop, stick around. We're going to cut through the noise, drop some knowledge, and maybe have a little fun along the way. So ladies and gentlemen, lock and load, because financial freedom is the mission. And here on The Volatile Vet, we always adapt and overcome.
Welcome back to The Volatile Vet Radio Show. I'm your host today, Jesse Abshire. I'm the founder of Abshire Family Financial, who sponsors the show here today, The Volatile Vet. Entrepreneur, father of two, competitive golfer, and who still believes every missed putt was the grass's fault. For those of you golfers out there, I'm sure you kind of appreciated that. But today, we're here talking about what matters more than market predictions, more than interest rate guesses, and more than whatever headline is screaming at you this morning that's going on in the world. We're going to talk about habits. Because if you have turned on the news lately, you could easily convince yourself that retirement planning is impossible. We have rising and falling interest rates, inflation that showed up uninvited, market swings that could feel like they were designed by someone who truly enjoys chaos, election cycles, debt ceiling debates, global tensions, banking scares, artificial intelligence, AI replacing half the workforce, depending on what article you read, what day of the week, and what time of the day, right? It is loud out there. And here's the truth. We cannot control any of that. You do not control the Federal Reserve. You do not control geopolitical events. You do not control tomorrow's market open. You do not control the next headline designed to make your anxiety suffer. But you absolutely can control your habits. And habits determine outcomes. When I was in the military, we trained so that under stress, we didn't panic. You do not rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of preparation. And retirement works very much the same way. When markets drop 20%, you do not magically become calm if you have no structure. You fall to your habits. So today, we're breaking down 13 habits that consistently show up in people who retire confidently. These are not lottery winners. These are not people who predicted every market move. No. These are simply disciplined people that made a plan. And if at any point in this episode you realize that you do not have structure, just accounts, potentially at many people's homes, that is your signal. Visit the website, www.volatilevet.com. Again, that's volatilevet.com. You can call us, 775-899-2243. Again, that's 775-899-2243. And you can schedule a retirement clarity session with either myself or my team. Because insight without action is entertainment. We are not here for entertainment. And it is very, very difficult to be aggressive if you are confused. Now we're going to hop into this first habit. Habit number one out of 13 today. This one is a cornerstone. Pay yourself first. If you make $120,000 per year and you save 15% of that income, that's $18,000 a year or annually. At a 7% average return for 25 years, that becomes roughly $1.2 million. If instead you save what is left over, let's say that average is about $8,000 a year, you end up with less than half, somewhere around $540,000. Same market, same timeline, very, very different behaviors. If we look at these two comparisons, using, again, like we said, same timeline, same market, different discipline behaviors, that's a $660,000 difference. Automation removes emotion. It's like, if you've been listening to us here at the Volatile Vet for a little while, you understand that our favorite word here is a four-letter word, right? M-A-T-H, math. Math is black and white. It has no emotional connection to anything. And anytime, again, we are human beings, right? We share this emotional state that we have, and we have to be aware that it exists. So automation removes emotion, removes how we could feel about something, and just makes it. If your savings never hit your checking account, you did not negotiate with yourself about whether you deserve new patio furniture. The thought here in habit one is to simply evaluate what we're currently doing and look at it to say, hey, could I increase my savings rate by 1% per year over 10 years? And that compounding impact over decades can add hundreds of thousands of dollars to your retirement. Simple, simple little things that we do consistently matter for a period of time. If you do not know your current savings rate as a percentage of income, that is step one. Sit back, calculate it. If it is under 15%, including your employer match, that is absolutely worth reviewing. All right, we're going to get into habit two. If you're just now joining us today, we're talking about the 13 habits that improve retirement outcomes. And if this is the first time you're here at the Volatile Vet, I think, you know, you're going to hang around a little bit and see that this is not your normal kind of radio show. We're here to talk about real things that you can do that impact you, that have a make a difference, okay? And today we're talking about 13 habits. Habit number two, keep money moving. Cash is comfortable. I can't even keep a list of how many people come in any of our offices from California all the way to Florida, any of our offices that have so much money sitting in cash. And it's like, why? Why I like to have a rainy day fund. I get that. But that money is not working at all sitting in a 0.0001% savings account. The bank is loving you right now. They love you. They get to use a system called fractional banking. Every dollar that you leave with them in that general savings account, they get to loan that out 7 to 9 times on the back end and pay you nothing. And you create 7 to 9 times leverage for them when you could be doing that for yourself somewhere else. Right? Huge fan. Let's have an emergency fund, but I don't want that emergency fund collecting dust. Right? So cash is comfortable. People like seeing it. But comfort can be expensive. Let us say you have $200,000 sitting in a traditional savings account, and we'll even give it a boost, earning 0.2%. And that is a boost. That earns $400 per year. You move that to a better account, not necessarily more risk, but just a better account. Let's say a high yield savings account, also known as a HISA. That now it's getting 4%. And now you're earning $8,000 per year instead of 400. Well, 8,000 minus 400, that is a positive arbitrage or a positive net gain of $7,600 in an annual difference. Well, now let's back up and take what I like to call this 30,000 foot view. If I made that same decision to keep that emergency fund very easy to get to, understanding that my risk at that point is actually on the return, right? I have a lot of liquidity, but I don't have a lot of return. So my risk in this situation is on the return. And as long as I'm okay with that, I can step back and say, okay, hey, over 10 years, assuming a modest 3% average yield, that is over $60,000 in a difference. Inflation at 3% cuts purchasing power in half in about 24 years. So money earning nothing or sitting in that ultra low yield savings is mathematically shrinking every day. I really want that to kind of sink in. Like, we're not saying not have an emergency fund. I'm just saying don't let that money be shrinking as you do it. This does not mean, you know, invest the emergency fund into aggressive things. Absolutely not. And if any of you have noticed, we don't give advice on this show. We talk about strategies. We talk about real world ideas and things that you can implement in your everyday life that improves your overall situation. But if we're not going to, you know, use this emergency fund more efficiently, we just have to evaluate what other things that we can do right now that helps it. It means every dollar that you get, that you earn, that you, you know, work for through rental property, through earned income, through your business, you know, through inheritance, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It means every dollar needs a real job, right? It needs a job like liquidity. It needs a job like growth, income, protection. If you have more than 6 to 9 months of expenses sitting idle and no allocation plan, this is a conversation for you. You've done a good job creating this fund, but that is only half of the battle. Creating it is the first half. The second half is making sure that it still serves you. If that sounds like you, I want you to pick up the phone and give us a call, 775-899-2243. Again, 775-899-2243. Or visit us at volatilevet.com, volatilevet.com. You can use our scheduling link on the website and book your own appointment. Our first 7 callers that call in today are going to get a free compass report that is a written financial strategic plan. Now, we can't just give these to everybody. These take hours to create. This takes a few meetings with either myself or my staff to be able to build something like this. But the first seven get this free of charge. Okay, so again, 775-899-2243, and we'll get that going for you. Now, I do want to get into habit number three. I think as we kind of build through these 13 habits that we're going to cover today, each one has its own like increased level of scrutiny based on kind of what's going on in our lives, right? So habit three is live below your means. Live below your means is not deprivation. It's margin. Most retirees need about 70 to 80% of pre-retirement income. If you earn $180,000, you may need $130,000 in retirement. If you have $2 million saved and withdraw at the 4%, that generates about $80,000 annually. Add $40,000 combined Social Security and you're at $120,000. Now, if you withdraw 6%, instead, that $120,000 from the portfolio alone, well, hey, that sounds great. Until the market drops 20% early on in retirement, and we bring into play what's called sequence of return risk, and now we're risking drawing down the portfolio too fast and outliving it because the risk in this situation, we have too much risk on the asset. And now that $2 million that we felt really comfortable with becomes $1.6 million before we've even taken a dollar out of it. Add that 6% withdrawals and you are accelerating the decline. That is called sequence of return risk because we have too much of our risk in our retirement on our portfolio asset as a whole. Because everyone out there listening to this, what you're doing, if you're in the garage right now, you know, if you're driving, turn this thing up a little bit. I want you to hear me here. So risk in itself is like radiation. Radiation, we can't just like make it disappear, right? But we can transfer it. So risk in retirement can only really be in three places. It's either on the asset, right? That, let's say you're invested out into the market, you own equities and things like that. That risk is on that asset. If that value of that thing that you own goes down, that's the risk. The second place that you can put risk is on liquidity. So, you know, sometimes you get a guarantee, right? You go into the bank, they give you 5% guarantee on a certificate of deposit or a CD, but you can't access that money for a period of time. That's liquidity risk. I don't have access to it, but I get a guarantee. So the risk number two is liquidity. Three, the risk is on return. So if I'm sitting in a checking or savings account where I have no real return at all, I have 100% access to my money. The risk then is on the return. I hope that makes sense. So I'm going to circle back just a tiny bit, right? So we talked about now if you would draw that 6% from $120,000 from that portfolio loan, it sounds amazing because, hey, I'm going to get more money. And then the market declines, and now you're accelerating the drawdown of the portfolio due to sequence of return risk. Overspending early in retirement is one of the fastest ways to stress a portfolio. If you are within 10 years of retirement, 10 years, that is not that far away, right? You've been working for decades. If you are within 10 years of retirement, do not know your target withdrawal rate, you do not understand which three categories you have your percentage of risk allocated to, That is something to define right now, today, yesterday, not when you turn 67 years old. We have reached that point where you're at habit number four. Now, this one, I think this one is super important. Habit four is eliminate high interest debt. So again, some debt can be good debt, right? But a $20,000 credit card balance at 24% interest can cost over $40,000 in total interest if it is paid slowly or at your kind of minimum payment, monthly payment. I mean, that's like buying a used car and lighting another one on fire for fun. It just, those kind of things don't make a lot of sense to do for a long period of time if you're really trying to get into a better financial situation. Even a $10,000 credit card at 20% costs $2,000 per year in interest. That's a massive dollar amount. If you eliminate that and invest potentially that $2,000 annually at, let's say, a very conservative 7% for 20 years, that grows to $82,000. Just that small change, controlling the debt, controlling the interest rate that that debt is serviced on, repurposing the money that you're using to service the debt, and now that grows and helps you in retirement and provides another vehicle, another lever that you can pull on if you need to in retirement. Paying off high interest debt is a guaranteed return equal to whatever the interest rate was. Right? That makes sense? If I'm paying off high interest debt, I'm getting a return on that that is guaranteed because now that debt service is going away and I'm not having to pay it. That's guaranteed return equal to the interest rate that is being charged to me. It's true and also very unique to look at it that way. Because every time you make a payment, you get that thing down lower, that is a guaranteed return on your future money. So if your credit card rate is higher than you expected or higher than your expected market return, math says, that word, M-A-T-H, math, says eliminate that first. Habit number five. Hey, we're almost halfway here. Plan intentionally. Hope is not a retirement strategy. Hope is not a strategy at all. It is definitely not a retirement strategy. If you retire with $1.5 million in pre-tax accounts and tax rates are at 22%, that account is effectively about $1.17 million net. Net. Because if I look at an account pre-tax, because we didn't do any planning yet for like Roth conversions, controlling tax strategy, getting some balance sheet leverage where someone else actually helps pay that tax bill. I'm looking at that $1.5 million pre-tax money, 401k, IRA, and saying, okay, what's your tax bracket? And I take that off the top, and that's what you really have. One, because there's a lot of tax drag in that account that we have not accounted for yet. We haven't built a tax strategy in the financial plan yet. Right? If tax rates move to 32%, it drops your $1.5 million to about $1.02 million net. That is a massive difference because that tax drag is still there. That is a $150,000 difference due to taxes alone. Okay? Planning includes a sequence. A good plan, if you're currently working with an advisor, that's awesome. However, not all advisors are the same. Okay, the plan, the written plan. We should have a written plan. Every single new client that comes to Abshire Family Financial, our sponsor here of the Volatile Vet Radio Show, gets a written plan. We call that the Compass Report. That plan shows withdrawal sequencing. tax diversification, tax strategy. If you're in a situation where Roth conversions or Roth strategies make sense, that's in there. A Social Security optimization timing report. When is it the best time for you personally to take Social Security? Required minimum distributions, RMDs, if it's either 73 or 75, depending on your birthday. If you do not know how much of your retirement assets are taxable versus tax-free, that is one of the highest leveraged conversations you as a retail consumer can have with a financial professional to understand truly what is happening in your portfolio and in your retirement. And in the back of your head, be able to know exactly what to expect. Habit six, work with a professional. Okay, work with a professional. Behavior gap is real, ladies and gentlemen. It is real. If the market averages 9%, but the average self-managed investor captured 6% due to emotional timing mistakes, the difference over 25 years on $1 million is enormous. At 9%, 25 years, $1 million becomes 8.6 million. At 6%, it becomes about 4.3 million. That is half. That is $4 million behavioral penalty because you didn't work with a professional. No, advisors are not magic. They are not shock absorbers. However, there are some out there that do a fantastic job. There are some that have that fiduciary for you, that have a team, that are not there to panic. And if you have panic sold in the past, you already understand what I'm talking about. You're looking at the radio going, man, he's talking about me right now. I'm here for you too. Okay? All of you. So again, if any of these first six has hit, I want you to give us a call, 775-899-2243. Again, 775-899-2243. Or you can visit us at volatilevet.com. Again, that's volatilevet.com. You can use our scheduling link in that website and schedule your own appointment at your convenience. Everybody, the first seven that come in today are going to get a free Compass report that we're going to build custom for you. Oh, I see my light flashing. It's about that time. We'll see you guys soon. Welcome back. Welcome back to part two of the Volatile Vet Radio Show today. Here, we're speaking about 13 successful habits that you can use to improve your retirement. Now, if this is the first time that you've ever been here at the Volatile Vet, I welcome you. If you are a regular listener to the Volatile Vet radio show or podcast, welcome back. I hope you get some goodies from the episode today. We're about halfway through it. We're on habit number seven for the second part here. We're going to hop right in. Habit seven, budget with purpose. Let us say your retirement income is $9,000 a month. Structured approach, that should look something like this. $4,500 in essentials. That's like things you really have to have, right? Like rent, food, electricity, things like this. $2,000 discretionary. Discretionary is that fun word for kind of like, you know, do what you want with this. Go, you know, if you want to just, you know, blow it or whatever that is, that's for you. $1,500 in travel and $1,000 in reinvestment or emergency funds. Intentional budgeting reduces anxiety. Okay. When we know, hey, okay, I have X amount of dollars coming in, that's broken down here, 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 and here, that creates some comfort, some certainty. And that certainty and clarity, that intentional budgeting reduces anxiety. when spending is aligned with values, you spend confidently instead of nervously. That buyer's remorse thing goes away because that was part of the plan. If you do not know your monthly number needed for retirement, that is step one. I can't tell you how many times potential new clients come into the firm. Abshire Family Financial, the sponsor of the radio show today, The Volatile Vet, come in and it's like, hey, what do you need right now to pay your bills? And one spouse looks at the other and the numbers that they give are both different. I want to drive home the point that it's super important to understand where our money is going. It's really hard to make a plan when your spending and your budgeting is not really in control and you don't know where it's going. So that's a really good point, right? If you don't know your monthly number that you need right now, even today for retirement, that is step one. Because let me tell you this, what you do right now, let's say that, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you kind of like go have a little fun. You know, maybe you spend a little extra money because like you worked really hard, right? But retirement is like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day. And if you don't have a plan for that, it's definitely going to, you know, it's going to mess with the budget a little bit because now you're going to have all this free time and you didn't plan for that free time. You don't have these hobbies that you really enjoy, trips that you're going to do. It could really cut into the budget because spending is something that people will use to fill that time. And that's what I'm definitely trying to avoid here. So we're going to use that one to hop into habit eight. Habit eight is invest early and often. $600 per month at 8% from age 25 to 65 could roughly grow to about $1.8
million.
$1.8
million at just $600 a month. Most of us that have, you know, let's say stable career jobs, we spend money on things that we probably don't need to. But they could also be things that we enjoy. Here's my thought. If you find a few hundred dollars, let's say $600, that you can invest over a period of time somewhere where you're getting a modest return, even conservatively, that money really has an opportunity to work for you. From 25 to 65, $1.8 million is $600. If you started just 10 years later at age 35, that only becomes about $800,000 because you've left multiple years of compounding effects on the table. That 10-year delay costs around $1 million in growth potential. Compounding rewards time, and it delays and punishes not taking action. So compounding rewards time, and it punishes delay. Habit number nine, prioritize assets over liabilities. Assets generate income or appreciate in value. You could think about real estate like this. If you have a rental property and that is actively being rented at a higher rate than what your mortgage payment is, you are generating some level of income that you are currently not working for. If that property is well maintained and it's in a decent market, it has the ability to appreciate over time, which means that you can make money at a future date when you sold it. If you own a rental producing roughly $1,200 per month net income, that's about $14,400 a year. You're not actually going out there to work for it. You finance a depreciating vehicle costing $1,200 per month, and that is a negative $14,400 a year. Over 10 years, that swing can approach $300,000 difference in net worth trajectory. So in this example, the rental property that's producing some income for you that you're not having to work for, that would be an appreciating asset. The car that you purchased at the same dollar amount that you're bringing in from the rental, that is a liability. We have to pay that every month from our pocket somehow. That difference could be worth $300,000 in the same time frame. And I use that because lifestyle inflation quietly delays retirement. I think this, the thing that I see a lot, well, maybe a lot is too strong of a word. Let's say often, is people will be going through their career. They'll be getting a, let's say they're getting a promotion or some type of bonus. In their head, if they don't have this financial plan written down, that bonus is already being spent on things that they may or may not need. The other really good example here is people that get a tax return. Why do you think all of these stores, electronics and clothing and all these places, car dealerships, that around the time that you're getting your tax refund, that they offer discounts? It's not by accident. Okay? Not by accident. Just think about that for a second. We're going to hop into number 10. Build multiple streams of income. Example of that is if you qualify for Social Security, that is 40 qualifying units or 40 quarters over a 10-year period. That is a stream of income. Until that is completely depleted, that income exists. $3,000 a month in Social Security, checkbox one. $4,000 a month from your portfolio that you worked really hard for and that you saved. You're turning that accumulation into preservation and income for yourself. $2,000 a month from a rental property that you bought years ago, that you've had good rentals in, you've taken care of it, and it pays you. And you have some dividends coming in at $1,000 a month because you grew that portfolio, you bought quality things, you diversified, you had a professional, and you built a plan. Well, that total that I just rattled off to you is about $10,000 a month. Diversified income reduces stress. If the markets dip, Social Security is still paying you. If the tenant leaves, the dividends still coming. Income diversification as a whole stabilizes retirement. And now that we've kind of talked about stabilizing, understanding our budget, and going through these really important habits, we move into the bread and butter, we'll say, of today's show. So if you're just now joining us here at the Volatile Vet today, we are talking about the 13 habits for successful retirement. We've already done 10 of those. I'm gonna itemize those real quick for you. So the ones that we've talked about, if you missed this, keep in mind that this radio show is recorded for the podcast. You can see us or listen to us, sorry, on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music. All of this gets dropped to that podcast, okay? The first habit we talked about today was pay yourself first. The second one was keep money moving. Third, live below your means. Four, eliminate high interest debt. Five, plan intentionally. Six, work with a professional. Budget, Number 7, budget with purpose. 8, invest early and often. 9, prioritize assets over liabilities. 10, build multiple streams of income. And now we're moving into habit number 11, which is build financial knowledge. Woo, this one's going to be deep. Let's talk about something that does not get nearly enough attention. How about just like financial knowledge in general? Because our school system doesn't really go through that. I mean, I spent years of my life in graduate level college education, and not a lot of these very specific tools I use for my clients were ever taught in that arena. So now before anyone thinks this means you need to become like some like Wall Street analyst or memorize those stock tickers like you're playing Financial Jeopardy, that is not what I mean. Not even close. You do not need to be the mechanic, but you absolutely should understand the dashboard. Okay? You should know what those gauges are telling you. Because here is a statistic that should make people pause for a second. Research consistently shows that nearly 1/3 of investors do not know how their retirement money is invested. I mean, think about that. You work 30 to 40 years building retirement savings, and many people could not tell you what percent is in stock, what percent is in bonds, what their risk exposure is, how much they're paying in fees, what is their tax exposure, and do they have a tax plan for all that pre-tax money that they've been growing? That is like flying on an airplane where the pilot says, "Hey everyone, good news. I'm pretty sure we're headed west." Excuse me? I think not. Not comforting, at least like where I'm sitting. Financial literacy does not mean doing everything for yourself. It means being informed enough to ask the right questions and being involved in the process, not to the point of like years and years of someone studying this, but to the point where you kind of get the grasp of what is going on here. Again, being informed enough to ask the right questions. Let me give you an example. Imagine two investors. Both have $1 million saved. Investor A knows their portfolio is roughly 60% stock, 30% bond, 10% money market cash. Investor B says, "Well, yeah, my guy over at Fidelity, he handles that for me. If I need money, I just call him." Wait a second. Somebody out of these two seems to have a pretty darn good understanding of what's going on. Now, let's say that the market drops 20%. Guess which investor panics first? The one who does not understand what is happening. Knowledge reduces emotional reaction. Reaction destroys returns. Let me show you the math, right? There's that four-letter word again, M-A-T-H, math. If the math drops, if the market, excuse me, drops 20% and someone panic sells, they locked in the loss. Because it's not a loss until you sell it. If the market rebounds 15% the following year, they have missed that recovery. On a $1 million portfolio, that sequence could mean a difference of roughly $150,000 to $200,000 over that period of time. That is a massive swing. And that has nothing to do with the market being bad. It's because the behavior was reactive because there wasn't a plan. And the reaction almost always comes from uncertainty. When people do not understand what they own, volatility feels like danger, danger. When they understand the strategy, volatility feels like the weather. And depending on what climate you live in and where you're listening to this, you could have four seasons. The market definitely has seasons, and volatility can absolutely feel like the weather. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable, or it can be, but it can also be expected. Like, oh, we think it's going to rain today. Doesn't mean I'm going to love that it's raining, but it does mean that I'm going to have time to put my rain jacket on, my rain boots, maybe even grab an umbrella, because now I'm expecting it. That is a different level of preparation and confidence. Let me ask you, yeah, you, the listener out there, something very direct while you're listening right now. If someone asked you, what percentage of your retirement savings is exposed to stock market volatility? Could you answer that in 5 seconds? If that answer is no, that is not criticism. In your mind, I want you to really try to say, well, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. Because the goal is not complexity. The goal is clarity. Another question. You ready? Do you know how much your retirement is taxable? How much of your retirement is taxable? If you have $1.5 million in traditional IRAs and 401ks, that is not fully yours. You have a partnership with the IRS. If taxes average 25% in retirement, that $1.5 million is really closer to $1.125 million after tax. That is a $375,000 difference. And that is real money. And financial knowledge allows you to ask smarter questions. Like, hey, should I convert some of this to Roth? What are my future tax brackets likely to be? How will required minimum distributions impact me? Those questions create better outcomes. Now, here's something important. Financial literacy is not about ego. It is about confidence. Because when you understand the framework of your plan, you stop reacting to every headline. And if you are listening right now thinking, man, honestly, Jesse, I have accounts, but I do not have that level of clarity of what's happening with those. That's exactly why we do these retirement clarity sessions. That's why we build that Retirement Compass report. It's not a sales pitch. It is a conversation where we help people understand simple but powerful questions like, what do you actually own? How is it taxed? How much risk are you taking for that return? And how does that translate into retirement income? If that sounds useful, visit the website volatilevet.com. Again, that's volatilevet.com. Schedule that conversation with us. It's either going to be with me or one of my staff members, because confident retirees are informed retirees, and retirement should be as least amount of stress as possible. If this sounds like you, give us a call, 775-899-2243. Again, that's 775-899-2243. We got two habits left today. Habit 12, review annually. Let's move to habit number 12, review your plan annually. Now, this sounds simple, but most people do not do this. Most investors treat retirement planning like installing a smoke detector. They set it up once, and then they hope, and we know that hope is not a strategy. It works forever. The reality is retirement planning is more like maintaining a vehicle. Times change, things change, markets change, tax laws change. Oh, hey, you as a human, your life changes. Let me give you an example. Let's say someone retires with $1.8 million in a portfolio. Their plan assumes a 4% withdrawal rate. That means they withdraw $72,000 per year from the portfolio. Now imagine that inflation rises 4% for several years, and if they do not redo their plan, their spending power is gradually declining, and $72,000 today may feel comfortable. But after 10 years, for that same dollar amount, they're going to need roughly $106,000. That's a huge difference. That's a lifestyle shift. But we already know that many provisions of tax cuts and job acts are scheduled to sunset in coming years. That means tax brackets will most probably rise. If someone reviews their plan annually, they may decide to do partial Roth conversions to control their tax drag. They may save thousands and thousands of dollars by doing that. If someone started a 60-40 portfolio years ago, but the market grew significantly, their allocation might now be a 75-25 because it hasn't been rebalanced lately. Now, I'm not saying that everything has to change. Like, your long-term plan should be your long-term plan. I mean your full financial structure, income strategy, tax exposure, risk alignment, healthcare assumptions, long-term care, estate, trust taxes. If the answer is, well, the last time I did that was a long time ago or never, you're not alone. Most people have those accounts too. Few of them have a coordinated plan. And that's exactly why doing things periodically matter and why we recommend doing them on an annual basis. But it is simply a structured conversation to help you with your financial picture clearly, because retirement plans should evolve as your life evolves. Here we are today. We have reached our final milestone, habit number 13, take educated risks. At this point, we've talked about many different strategies that help make retirement more predictable, more palatable, and successful retirees do take educated risks. They're not reckless. They're not emotional. They are educated. Let me explain what I mean. Some people believe retirement means eliminating all risk. Well, that sounds logical, but it actually creates another problem, inflation. If someone retires with $1 million and puts the entirety into a low-yield savings account at 2%, while inflation is at 3%, they are slowly eroding their purchasing power. We cannot avoid all risks because that will quietly erode your retirement lifestyle. But the opposite is also dangerous. A concentrated risk, owning too much of one thing. If that company starts to fail and you lose 40% of your retirement holdings, that could be a massive hundreds of thousands of dollars bill. That is also not diversification. That is called concentration. Diversification is stocks, bonds, fixed income, alternative assets, income generating investments. The goal is not avoiding volatility. The goal is managing it intelligently. But let me give you a little analogy. When you fly in an airplane, turbulence is uncomfortable, but the pilot expects it. They build systems to handle it. Financial markets are similar. Volatility is normal. What matters is how your portfolio is structured to handle it. Okay, most people do not have this clear answer, and that uncertainty can be stressful. So I'm not sure how much risk I'm actually taking. If that's the thought that you're having, I want you to have more confidence, because retirement confidence does not come from avoiding uncertainty. And it's hard to be aggressive if we're confused. All of these things come from preparing for them. And when you combine these final three habits, With the earlier ones we discussed today, financial knowledge, annual reviews, educated risk, you take the power back. You create something powerful for yourself. It is not a perfect plan, but it is a resilient plan. And resilience is what allows retirees to enjoy their lives without constantly worrying about their money. So give us a call at 775-899-2243 and book that simple conversation with us. That's the goal. This is the Volatile Vet. Stay disciplined.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed representative.